Hello, brothers and sisters, and welcome once more to Food for the Journey. Today we celebrate the feast of St. Elizabeth Ann Seton, and I want to share something with you about her because it strikes me that everything seemed to oppose what God really wanted of her. It's not true, but she had many challenges in life. Elizabeth Ann Seton suffered the death of her husband when she was 29 years old. And having encountered the Catholic faith while she was on holiday in Italy, she converted to the disappointment of her family. She's lost her husband, disappointments of her family, her attempts to found a school in New York to support herself and her five children failed when the parents of her students discovered that she was Catholic. After responding to the invitation to open a school in Baltimore, she founded the Sisters of Charity of St. Joseph to educate the poor and the orphans. Elizabeth died in Emmitsburg, Maryland in 1821, and she is considered the patron of Catholic education in America. This is a woman to call on her prayers, well, your prayers to her, to ask that we be helped during this time of the pandemic, how challenging it is for our children in school. Are they getting what they need to? Can they be given what they need to? And if your children aren't in school and they are home, who's taking care of them? What are you doing? These are times when we need to pray for one another, that we may be given the grace and the wisdom to do what God wants. And he will give it. Ask the Lord that for every day. Ask him every day. Give me grace to do your will today. And God will do that. And Elizabeth Ann Seton is a wonderful woman to pray for you, because she's actually considered the patron of Catholic education in America. Draw on her, on that grace, please. The Mass begins with the first letter of St. John, chapter 3, verse 22, to chapter 4, verse 6. Beloved, we receive from him whatever we ask, because we keep his commandments and do what pleases him. And his commandment is this: we should believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as he commanded us. Those who keep his commandments remain in him and he in them. And the way we know that he remains in us is from the Spirit whom he gave us. Beloved, do not trust every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they belong to God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. This is how you can know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges Jesus Christ come in the flesh belongs to God. And every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus does not belong to God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, who, as you heard, is to come, but in fact is already in the world. You belong to God, children, and you have conquered them, for the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. They belong to the world. Accordingly, their teaching belongs to the world, and the world listens to them. But we belong to God. And anyone who knows God listens to us, while anyone who does not belong to God refuses to hear us. This is how we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of deceit. The word of the Lord. Ponder that. See how it applies to your life, that you may follow the Lord more and more closely. The responsorial psalm is Psalm 2. I will give you all the nations for an inheritance. I will give you all the nations for an inheritance. This is Psalm 2. The Lord said to me, "You are my son. This day I have begotten you. Ask of me, and I will give you the nations for your inheritance, and the ends of the earth for your possession." And now, O kings, give heed. Take warning, you rulers of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear. That means deep respect in this situation. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice before him with trembling. Rejoice. We have our God who is in heaven, who desires that we're with him forever. Please take heed to him and to his word. And the gospel is taken from chapter 4 of Matthew, verses 12 to 17, and then verses 23 to 25. When Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew to Galilee. He left Nazareth. He went to live in Capernaum by the sea, in the region of Zebulun and Naphtali, that what had been said through Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled. And here's the word. Land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali, the way to the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people who sit in darkness have seen a great light. On those dwelling in a land overshadowed by death, light has arisen. From that time on, Jesus began to preach and say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." He went all around Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, and curing every disease and illness among the people. His fame spread to all of Syria, and they brought to him all who were sick with various diseases and racked with pain. Those who were possessed, lunatics, paralytics, and he cured them. And great crowds from Galilee, the Decapolis, Jerusalem, and Judea from beyond the Jordan followed him. Do we follow the Lord? Do we really follow him? Please, brothers and sisters, it takes some discipline. And I know jobs and small children make things very difficult. I understand that. But give God, at a minimum, give God 10 minutes every day reading his word. If possible, the reading for that day at Mass. Read it, ponder it. And ask God to bless everything you do this day. And then in the evening, take another 5 or 10 minutes and look at your life. I don't mean you have to put a microscope to it, but how were you able to respond to the Lord? Did you, in the middle of a difficult situation, just say, "Lord, lead me, Lord, show me"? And you'll be amazed in very quiet ways that any human could give you, but it's God giving it to you, and brings you peace and wisdom and sometimes comfort. Please, brothers and sisters, take his word seriously, because his word is the living word. The living word. That means it has all the power. It's not just words on a printed page, though that's the way you read them. But that word is alive. It has power to touch your life, to comfort, to strengthen, to discipline, to help you in any way draw closer to him. Read it daily, please. I was reading something that Elizabeth Ann Seton had written, and this, of course, as I said at the beginning of the program, is her feast. "Father of all mercies," she writes, "blessed be your goodness, which has preserved me this day and brought me to the hour of rest. To your merciful protection, I humbly commit my soul and body, for you only can give me peace and safety. I supplicate your blessing on me, my friends, and relations through Jesus Christ, my Savior. O my soul, there is a heaven. There is a Savior. There is a pure and perfect felicity under the shadow of his wings. There is rest from our labors, peace from our enemies, freedom from our sins. There we shall always be joyful, always beholding the presence of Him who has purchased and prepared for us this unutterable glory. Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Where He is, there shall we be also. And the happy hours we have passed together, thinking of Him and singing His praise, will then be remembered with the fondest delight. We will never more separate, never be weary, but day without night rejoice before His throne. And now we must keep our hearts fixed on Him and try with all our souls to please our dear and blessed Lord. And then when He calls us, come up thither, we will fly with joy to our heavenly home. What a beautiful statement. What a beautiful source of direction for us. This is a woman who lost her husband. This is a woman who lost a child. This is a woman who has fixed her gaze on the Lord, that no matter what this life calls us to, what this life requires of us, we can be a people who put Him first in our lives, who love Him, who seek to follow Him. And believe me, when we do that in time, not right away, but in time, as God sees your faithfulness, you will know Him more and more and love Him more and more. I remember a little child walking up to a friend of mine one day, and he said, "You're so happy. All the time, you're so happy." And she said, "Yes." And he said, "Why?" And she said, "Because Jesus, who is our God in heaven, and His Father, love us so much through His Holy Spirit." And this child said, oh. And honestly, I think at that age, something was planted, a seed was planted. You never know to whom God wants you to speak. And you say, "Oh, I can't just walk up to somebody." Well, this child did. And I'm not saying you grab every person on the street, but take the opportunity to tell them of God's great love for them, so that especially when they're suffering or when they're in difficult circumstances, you can build their faith. God might want to use you in some way, in these difficult days for us, in these times when we don't have all that we need and we can't go just where we want. Many times we can't even get to Mass. But pray. Pray that God will send you someone if you need it, and pray that you, as you are able, may be a voice in the darkness right now, that Jesus is here and He loves us. And He loves you. And He's trying really hard, I think, through this COVID problem we're having all over the world. He's calling us to look to Him. He's calling us to take all the possibilities that are around us that we can take. But most of all, turn to Him first. Ask Him to bless you. Ask Him to lead you and help you. Ask Him to make you a blessing to others. May God bless you. For a free copy of my booklet, Hope in the Midst of Suffering, please call our toll-free number, 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website, renewalministries.net/FFJ. That's renewalministries.net/FFJ.